Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. The New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. This quote comes from one of our fathers in the faith, St. Augustine of Hippo, dating all the way back to the 4th century. St. Augustine, along with the entire Christian church throughout all ages, has believed and so taught and confessed this truth. A truth that was first revealed by Christ in the Gospels, and so then built upon by the apostles in what we now know the rest of the New Testament as the epistles, as is shown in their extensive quotations of the Old Testament. It is interesting to note, as you look back through church history, particularly church history in the first 3 centuries of the Christian church right after the apostles, that this truth was always a marker of true Christian preaching and teaching, and that those who disregarded or warped this in any way diverged from the pure teaching of the gospel. Almost all the false teachers and teachings of the first 3 centuries in the Christian church centered on how, or in some cases if, one read the Old Testament. The Jews kept reading the Old Testament but rejected a Christ-centered interpretation of it as found in the New Testament. Ultimately, they rejected Christ and his teaching altogether. But there were many who believed Jesus to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world, and that he had in some way, by his death and resurrection, given redemption to mankind. Yet at the same time, still either rejected or radically warped the Old Testament to fit this belief. One of these groups was known as the Marcionites, named after the man who started the movement around the year 140 AD. The Marcionites, Marcion and his followers, completely rejected the Old Testament. Marcion and his followers taught that the gospel was so different than the message of the Old Testament that it could not in any way be related to it. For in their view, in their estimation, the God of the Old Testament was a mean, vindictive, and just God, whereas the God of the New Testament was loving, compassionate, and merciful. This teaching then led them to accept only the gospel of Luke and most, though not all, of Paul's epistles, which Marcion and his followers even amended in various places to better suit what he believed the gospel was. He claimed that all the other apostles, Peter, James, John, all of them, fell away from the pure teaching of the gospel, and Paul alone had kept it uncorrupted. Another group, who still used the Old Testament but radically differed in interpreting it, were known as the Gnostics. These claimed to have a special knowledge, not written down by the apostles as found in the New Testament, but rather passed down through oral tradition, and without this oral tradition, you could not rightly understand the scriptures. Just as the Marcionites before them, these drew a hard line between the Creator God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. This teaching then subsequently led to a hatred and a view of everything material, everything in the created world and the created world itself as evil. For all these, they said, were created by that mean, vindictive, and just God of the Old Testament. Jesus, they said, came to free us from these things, particularly free us from the body, which they would describe as being caged, a cage for the soul. And so they despise things like marriage and food. Now, there are many other false teachings that could be listed. And don't worry if you can't remember either now or later the various names of the movements or even specifically what they taught, because the overall point in me relating to them to you this morning is to show you the dangers of either rejecting out of hand the entirety of the Old Testament or interpreting it as 2 different gods. For as Augustine and the entire Christian church has rightly believed, taught, and so confessed since the very beginning, since the Old Testament is revealed in the New, and the New Testament concealed in the Old, it follows that if we warp or reject one of these two, we will unwittingly reject or warp the other. And in the end, we will lose the gospel, the message of the free forgiveness won by Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. And so as we read the scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments, we ought always to keep this in our minds. And we should always pray before studying God's word that he would open our eyes to hear and understand the scriptures. For unless he does, we cannot rightly understand or believe them. So you're probably thinking to yourselves, why all of this long, seemingly unrelated information that seems to have nothing to do with our readings for this morning? It is because our gospel reading for this morning has a major connection to a major event in the Old Testament that we need to understand if we want to understand what the point is. And so then we ask ourselves the question, how is this event in our gospel reading related to the Old Testament? At first glance, we may scratch our heads in confusion, but there is a word translated in our English text not as well as it could be that would have actually given this connection away if it would have been translated more literally, even if your understanding of the Old Testament may be limited. That word that I'm referring to is desert or wilderness. It is translated in our text as a desolate place, which simply describes the conditions of the place in which Jesus and his followers found themselves. There's nothing particularly wrong with the translation. It's just if it would have been translated literally, it would have called forth this event that I'm referring to in the minds of its hearers and in our minds, this event in the Old Testament. So hopefully now you remember that it was the desert, or rather more accurately, it was the wilderness, which the people of Israel had to wander through as they left Egypt to go to Mount Sinai and then wandered in for those 40 years until they eventually reached the Promised Land. And so the overall point in this miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish, almost the exact same miracle that he had performed just a few chapters earlier, only that time feeding 5,000, the point in this miracle is not that Jesus has superpowers and can do cool things, nor is it that he is almighty, nor is it to teach us that Jesus is like some genie in a bottle, ready to grant us unlimited wishes. Rather, the overarching point in this event, in this miracle, is that he is the same God who fed his people in the wilderness those 40 years. In other words, there is no difference between Jesus and the God of the Old Testament. The two are one and the same. The Trinity was in the Old Testament, just as he is more clearly revealed in the New Testament. Now, as I mentioned before, the dangers of denying this unity of the Old Testament anew are many. But there are also many benefits to it. And one of the benefits of knowing that the Old Testament and New Testament are intimately related, and there are more than one, is that it shows that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the same. He does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this serves both as a warning and as a comfort to us. It is a warning that we not be like his people of old, who, after having been redeemed from slavery in Egypt solely by the grace and mercy of the Lord, either rejected him by unholy living, things such as sexual immorality or idolatry, or by despising the food he gave to feed and sustain them in their time in the wilderness, that manna from heaven. But it is a comfort Because we see that while Jesus is indeed just, he is also compassionate and merciful. Here again, his words at the beginning of our gospel reading this morning. Jesus said, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." In other words, Jesus does not want them to starve. He does not want them to faint along the way home. Not only referring to earthly food, which perishes with use, but even and especially with spiritual food, that which lasts to eternal life. So he doesn't want you, or he doesn't want me, to faint along the way of the wilderness of this life, the way which we as Christians must all trek if we want to reach that promised land of heaven. Rather, he wants us to remain in his love and in his care. He wants us to reach that safe haven. And so then, that we may, he does not leave us without food. Instead, he, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after blessing it, just as he broke and blessed the loaves in our gospel reading, he then gave it to his disciples, to you and to me, and says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, the cup after supper, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And just as he then gave to his disciples in our gospel reading this food to distribute to those who listened and so followed him, so too he calls and ordains men to do this same thing for you, his people, to distribute to you his life-giving, life-sustaining food. And this food that he gives us for our wilderness journey is he himself, his very body and his precious blood. Or as one of our communion hymns puts it, Christ is himself both host and meal. Do not, therefore, despise this food by absenting yourselves from this altar. Rather, continue to receive him here often, so that your eyes may be opened to know and better understand the Scriptures, to see and know that the Old Testament is revealed in the New, and the New Testament concealed in the Old, and so that you may not faint as you go back into the dangerous world, the wilderness of this life, but rather abound and increase evermore in faith, hope, and love, and so endure unto the end and be saved. May our gracious Heavenly Father grant this for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.